All right. Well, I'm Kevin Ezell. I'm pastor here at Highview Baptist for, it'd be 14 years in June. And originally from Paducah, Kentucky, and went to school at Union University and all that type of stuff. What I want to tell you about, though, is adoption and what it's meant to my life and what it's meant to our church, and really how it can fit into your church and how it's changed our church. We have over 100 children who have been adopted in our church in the last 6 years. And our journey started, we have six children. I have two that are currently at Union, cost me a considerable amount of money. And then I have a son who's a freshman in high school. And then we have a daughter, Libby, that we adopted 7 years ago from China. I found her in a shoebox outside of a police station in China. And so we've been blessed with her for 7 years. She's a perfect child. And then Micah Lynn is in kindergarten. Libby's now in second grade. Micah Lynn is from Ethiopia. We got her 2 years ago and when she was three. She's now five. If you ever watched Sanford and Son, you ever watched the show Sanford and Son? Well, Aunt Esther, that's who we adopted, Aunt Esther. You know, she just kind of put her hand on her hip. She'll give you the what for it. She doesn't mind that at all. Hey! And so she's five, and then I just got back on Friday from the Philippines, a week ago Friday, where we adopted our son. He's 12 years old, and this time I took our son, who's 14, a freshman, with me, and so we spent 10 days in a hotel room with a 14 and a 12-year-old. So anyway, his name's John Michael, or J.M., and man, he's incredible. We've had a great. We're still in that transitioning time of getting used to each other. We had our post. The reason I wasn't able to be here last night. We had our post adoption visit last night. And if you've never been through that process, even you know squeaky clean, when they want to check out and take pictures of your washer and dryer and see his room and all those things, it just makes you a little on edge. You know, you're always afraid he's going to pop up and say, they chased me with knives. You know, so you're a little on edge. It made him a little nervous, too. We'd never gone through that process with a 12-year-old who could actually communicate with him, and it made him a little nervous. But thankful that she was a good friend of ours. So we've gone through it so much, we've gotten to know her really well. But so that's kind of where we are. We have three biological, three adopted. And the beautiful thing about that is during the Olympics, we win. I mean, it doesn't matter what sport. We have a lot of opportunities to win a medal in every event, so we're excited about that. The beautiful thing, hey, come on in. No, you're good. No, sorry. No, it's not a problem. Hey, man. And the beautiful thing about adoption and church, you have to start where it changes you. It's helped in that process. It's helped change my life and deeper my understanding of God's love for me, and therefore as pastor, obviously has changed, I believe, has gone from there and changed our church. And what I say by that is people often, their response when you say you've adopted or something, oh, that's sweet, that's so sweet of you. And when we were in the Philippines, you know, people always, oh, you have three, oh my word, you know, what a blessing for those children. But actually, it was reverse. It has been such an incredible blessing for us because of what God has done through them. And I think one of the most beautiful things, I think, the difference in our family. I have a daughter 20. I have a daughter that's 18, sophomore and freshman in college. And then the son that's a freshman. The change that's gone on in their lives because of their sisters and their new brother has been incredible. And Libby is, I said, a little perfect child from China. She is such a sweetheart. But the impact that she's made on her older sisters and their heart. We took our family 2 years ago on a mission trip to China to work in an orphanage for 2 weeks to help them see the conditions in which Libby lived in. That's typically not allowable in China especially, but we were able to pull that off with another couple. And that opened their eyes to the world. And the world's become a much smaller place, and their heart has become much bigger because of what they have seen in their brother and sister. So, again, the impact it's made in our family and what I've seen in our church. Our church is a much more caring church. It's helped our church love one another much easier and in a much more global way. But it helps us put ourselves in the right perspective. Let me give you an example. John Michael, we just got back with him on Friday. So we're still learning a lot of things. It was pretty funny when I was in Philippines. They had some, and there's no, the trip to Philippines was one of the, getting there was hard, but living there for 10 days was very easy. I mean, we had Tony Roma's, we had, all sorts of TGI Fridays, all sorts of plenty of food that I was used to. I'm not one, David, to drink as they drink and eat. I don't do that, all right? I take my food, I eat it, I come back, I don't get sick. But so we were in TGI Fridays, and I was trying to explain to him that chicken fingers were not actually chicken fingers. You know, and he's like, no, I don't want to eat chicken fingers. No, it's chicken, but it's not their fingers. And after about 5 minutes, I realized I was not convincing myself. You know, it was just not. So it's been interesting, those little changes, especially with a 12-year-old. It's just different than adopting an infant. We went through Wednesday. One of our members is an assistant coach at University of Cincinnati basketball team, and so he got us tickets and wanted John Michael to be able to go up and shoot hoop on the floor before the game and see some of the big players, and he's a big basketball fan, so we did that. We went through Dairy Queen, and I was getting him a real nutritional supper of a big bowl of, you know, ice cream sundae kind of a thing. We're still in that, I've just been adopted, I get anything I want, you know, that week-long stage, you know, where they're just until the social worker leaves, and then our post-visit. So we did that, and the lady says, would you like whipped cream? And he says, ma'am? And she said, would you like whipped cream? And he didn't know what whipped cream was. I said, it's a real soft, fluffy stuff they put on the top of ice cream. You're going to love it. You're going to really, really like it. And it was incredible watching him experience whipped cream for the very first time. And something he didn't know existed, and how great it was. I'll never forget, though, when I took him back. So I said, this is the first trip my wife stayed to be with Michael Lynn and Libby and just my son up. When we took him back to the hotel the very first day, and it was time to take a shower, and I said, now listen, I'm going to get the water running, and then you can jump in there. And I told him, he knew how to take a shower, but he had never, ever experienced warm water. They didn't have warm water. It was all cold. And so I said, now put your hand in there and feel it. He goes, ooh, that's hot. I said, all right, well, we'll come down a little bit. And we lessened it. I mean, it was just barely above cold, but it was warm. And he said, man, that feels good, Dad. That feels good. And so he got in there, and he stayed in there for about 40 minutes. Literally 40 minutes. I kept going, checking, Jam, you okay? Yes, Dad, this is wonderful. And I said, okay, as long as you're okay. And I go back in, Dad, Jam, you okay? This is great. His very first experience of warm water. I was thinking about, my word, there's so much that in his world, his eyes are being opened that he didn't know existed. I mean, warm water. And as a child, right? I kept feeling like that was my stomach. Okay. I was like, oh, that's so embarrassing. Surely not. But warm water. And the next day, whipped cream. So many things. And I realized that God in my life has so many more things He wants to see me. Wants me to see. And wants our church to see. And I'm just saying there are so many levels of understanding and the depths of His love and His grace that we really don't understand. And adoption has helped us as a church experience that in a much greater way and to see people in such small ways. Michael Lynn is from Ethiopia. Our youngest daughter is 5. She's very dark. And we have people in our church that would not classify themselves as racist by any means at all. But they were not racist, but they were in a somewhat a practicing separatist. All right? They just had very little interaction with people from other races. Well, Michael Lynn is she's typically renowned, very aggressive as far as affectionate and in the appropriate way. And I'll never forget one, a particular friend of mine that's older, she jumped up into, I said, hey, you know, you want to give him a hug? And so she gave him a hug because he'd given her something. And she said, thank you very much. And she kissed him on the cheek. And he was just alarmed by that. He said, man, I never experienced that. And it's just neat to see barriers go down and fall down. And when you hear the word acceptance today, so often we tense up because we know that often it's used in a very liberal sense to accept things that we do not feel that are right and are biblical. But in a good sense, adoption has helped our church understand what it means to be acceptance to a whole another level. And because we have opened, and I really believe that they go hand in hand, because our church has opened their heart to adoption, and they also begin to see the needs right here, as David shared. We have not done anything to the degree that he did, but as far as foster care and just looking for needs and trying to meet needs, and ultimately helps us fulfill the Great Commission in a much more consistent way. Our people have been able to see the world without leaving Louisville. Because you go down through our preschool now, and I mean, it's extremely diverse. I mean, it's just incredible when you have that many, especially at our East Campus, that many children from that many different countries. And it has been incredible to change the missions heart of our people. We have more people going on missions now than we ever have. We have more people giving to missions than we ever have. And a lot of different ways that people can be involved. And what I like to do is just cover several things, then we'll open up and talk a little bit. But one of the things I never dreamed is one of the biggest deterrents of adoption for people is financial. They'll say, man, it's just incredible the need is there. And for a pastor, one of the things I'm least effective at is, say, raising money or even addressing. I don't like capital fundraising campaigns and things like that. I break out in a rash. I'm just not good at that. And so a thought of doing that or trying to help people give to others in that way made me somewhat hesitant. I never dreamed of the transformation in the lives of our people when they were able to give and able to, those who did not feel led to adopt, but able to invest in others. We had a family in our church, one family. God used one family to kind of, to spur the whole thing and launch the whole thing, gave $10,000 to set up a matching fund and a loan fund. And what it simply does is people in our church that want to adopt, then they let us know that. And then we send a letter to their family and friends and say that we as a church are going to match. We're excited about Jim and Susie adopting and open their home and their heart to a child, and we want to be a part of that. And we're going to match that up to $2,000 and of what their family and friends give. Not what they give, but what their family and friends give. And it's been phenomenal to watch God work in such incredible ways of how many hundreds of thousands of dollars, we just do the two, but how many hundreds of thousands of dollars have come in response to that. We had one lady just 6 months ago got the letter, and the same day she had received an inheritance, and she said, we didn't need the money. And she said, I was praying that day, God showed me what to do with this money. I got the letter on behalf of another family in our church, and she called me and she said, how much did they need? And I said, well, this has been a long, drawn-out process. It's been pretty expensive. It's going to be more than most. And she said, well, how much is that? I said, well, I'll call and see. I found out it was about $26,000, which is more than what any of ours have cost. Told her, and she said, I'll send a check today. And she paid $26,000 just in one day. How God uses things like that. The beauty of it is, yeah, a child, this family was blessed, their child, and the expenses were taken care of. But the blessing is how watching God do that, and the blessing of her and her husband and family, knowing they had a part of that. This family, they don't know who did that. But time and time again, that happened. In our very first one, man, we prayed for what you can't really typically go into a bank and ask God to, ask them for a loan for a child. I've not done that. I mean, we had to come up with some ways to earn more money. I flipped homes several years ago. It's not a good time to do it now. And come up with just about the right amount of money. And we had one family in our church that gave us $1,000. And still to this day, 8 years later, they are still such a part of. Our joke was that they own Libby's left arm, you know. But they still feel so connected to her and our other children because of the way they invested in her in such a time of need. So the thing I didn't think would be that such a key factor when it comes to where here's the people and here's the church and how does it affect adoption. The one thing I never dreamed would have that big of an impact actually had been the stewardship issue of people having the opportunity to invest, whether they adopt or not. Every person can be a part of investing in children. It comes back to the whole Compassion International. When you adopt a child for $25 or $30 a month, we have many mission opportunities now where there are people, children who are in countries like Guatemala who are no longer open, at least for now, where our families are taking care of children who are going to be left in those countries. And so I say all that to say this. It has changed my church because they're much more outwardly focused. They love people in much, much more of a practical, specific way, and they're very open to giving much more freely to those who are not going to be able to give back to them. I never dreamed that stewardship would be one of the primary principles, but it has been. We keep it in front of them all the time. We have a board in each of our campuses and have pictures of the families who are going through the process and who have gone through the process and through that have created a culture of normalcy, that it's a normal thing. Also, we help break down some barriers of numbers, number of children. You say someone had five or six, you have how many kids? And now at our church, it's a very normal thing. We've created a real cult atmosphere. We joke about our adoption cult we have. But I'm thankful for all the children who have been blessed with wonderful homes. But the impact it's made on our church is just immeasurable. And so, hey, with that, I want to jump in. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you better go, brother. Any questions right off the bat might want to address just as we launch? I want to make sure we hit some specific questions that you might have and the impact it can make on your church. Any at all?
How often do you preach on adoption? Do you weave it into every sermon? Is it
yeah.
routine that people don't even hear it? Or do you have specific teaching like we've heard in the plenary session?
Yeah, we have specific. We've had about twice a year. I mean, we weave it in. It's so part of who we are. I mean, every time our people see our family, I mean, they see it's like a walking United Nations. I mean, we got four countries represented, as I said. And so they see it and experience it. But, Sanctity of Life Sunday, right around January, we'll address it. And we have multiple campuses. We have seven different campuses. And once a quarter, we come together and celebrate what God's doing in all the campuses on a Sunday night. Once a quarter, we do that. And we take one of those quarterly ones and focus on adoption. And it was really neat. Dr. Moore is one of our teaching pastors. And one particular Sunday night, we had, he and I were up there and invited all of the children and said, every child here is adopted, come up real fast. It's kind of like the old-fashioned children's sermon. And we were on the platform, and it was incredible to look and see, there were at least 70, 80 kids all around, different ages, all these different countries meshed in there together. And it was, it was a sermon in and of itself. And so we're basically about twice a year, but it's really become a part of, it's generated a synergy of its own. But the climate of acceptance is there. It's pretty interesting. I had a pastor in Tennessee call me concerned about his son and his daughter who's in our church and who they were adopting from Ethiopia. And he said, I don't mean this to be a racist question, but he said, I'm just concerned. He said, I know that my son, I know that they feel led to do this. And obviously my grandson's going to be African American and they're not. And I understand that you create such an environment and a climate there of acceptance that it's going to be fine as long as they're happy. But what happens if they ever get transferred? Are you setting them up for you know, something that could be pretty jolting to them when they go to somewhere where they may not be as accepted? And you know, which I don't believe that at all. I really setting them up to be a missionary to another church that needs to change. I mean, that's not right. It can be used to help change climates in other churches. So, but anyway, I appreciate his honesty. I was a little alarmed by it. Yeah, question. Okay, you can come back to it. Anybody else? Just an initial one?
Any? So you adopted Libby 7 years ago?
She was 1 year. We started the process, as I said, they found her in a shoebox when she was right after she was born, and it took about a year. So we got her when she was one. And we've had her for 7 years. She's eight. You know,
got it
rolling like that. I think I wouldn't take credit for Libby got that started. Although the visibility of it really helped break down the barriers and it helped educate our people some through the process and realize how doable it is. We had some children who were adopted in our church, but there's not really been a ministry there. There's another family in our church, the Melbers, who adopted a little girl from Philippines, Mary Tess, who actually is from the same orphanage that John Michael is from. And we actually, it was really neat, where John Michael's from a particular orphanage in Manila. We now at East Campus alone have 6 kids from that orphanage. So when he got off the plane, he saw his mom for the first time and his sisters for the first time and was reunited with his best friend, Mark Anthony, and his 2 sisters. And so there's 6. He'll be going to school with 4 kids who he was in the orphanage with just 2 years ago. And so it's really neat. It really is. And he is the best kid. But I got distracted just talking about my kids. But I hate to say, hey, she's the reason for it. It did give some visibility to it. But what happened is Tanotera and Lynette got together and said, hey, let's do some things to help families understand this process better. Because a lot of it is just driven by fear, you know, fear of how much or I can't. And people are just so blown away by how God provides. And, you know, even with John Michael in this process, we just went step by step and trusting that God was going to provide it step by step. And it was amazing. Without, you know, going and trying to bless our hearts, we're adopting anybody want to help us out. We can't, in our position as pastor, you obviously cannot do that. And with 2 kids in college, we were just trying to say, man, this is really going to be a challenge. But just God just continues to open doors that you just never dreamed would open. And I wouldn't trade it. If I had any change, I would have started doing this younger. I just turned 48 last week, and do what? No. How many? Tell them how many you guys have adopted. Right. What I would encourage you to, if you're part of a church where you're really wanting to, it does when the walls go down, the gates are opened from a pastor or leadership on the staff. The pastor doesn't have to adopt to do that. I think you have a heart for it, and he can help lead in that way. It helps when he does, but I guess what I'm saying, many of you go and talk to your pastor, you'll get further along if you don't start just trying to get him to adopt, because he's going to burr up really fast. Like, whoa, no, all right, this is your passion, don't make it mine, all right? I'd love for him to be blessed that way. Because I mean, I never dreamed I'd have 6 children ever, and now our son, who's a freshman, we're looking instead of adoption, we're contemplating the exchange process. You know, if there's some kind of way, but I never dreamed it. And perhaps he will. You know, the staff, different ones would, But they can still, once they really see and understand it, they will want it to, they will want it to be a part of their church. Not just because it helps start a new ministry, because of the way it, what it does to the hearts of your people. And it gives them a heart for the nations, but they just are more loving and caring. And I tell you what you'll find is adoption parents are passionate about adoption, but about meeting needs and about ministering. And there's a natural synergy that comes with that. So thank you so much for inserting that. Somebody else? Tara Melber, who actually is doing a breakout session, is our director of adoption. She does that as a layman. And if you go to Highview, our website, highview.org, there's others. You go under ministry, and there's adoption ministry, and they have all those for our folks. It's really designed, obviously, for our people to go there and understand a little bit more about it. But there are pre-adoption meetings where it's great where they get together and talk about what's involved in the process. And what's really neat is, even now, I mean, when I went to Philippines, or we have Ethiopia, I've just sat by two couples in my church that are going to Ethiopia in the next 2 months. Well, I know where, hey, you want to eat here? You do not want to go there. Man, if I were you, I would stay here. And it's really builds some communities that otherwise would not exist. And then during the process, obviously, we pray and are excited when families come home. Typically, when a family comes home, there's at the airport, we don't line the sidewalk, we line the airport, all the folks there. And then post, you have play groups and all sorts of things that come out of that. And Tara does a great job with starting that. One of the things I didn't mention, we have that matching fund, but also we help start a 0% interest loan fund for people in our church. You probably know that there's a tax benefit, a $10,000 tax credit that you get. And so we provide that loan for those who qualify and wait for them to get their tax credit on their taxes, and then they repay that so that we can give that back out to other families. So we have a matching fund, and we have a 0% interest loan, but it's very, it's limited. We have far more people adopting than we have money to provide, but it does, it's incredible how that 2,000 is not like they get four. In almost every case, we're just letting people know the need, and there are people out there wanting to give. You're just not in a position, typically, if you're doing it, that you can go and say, hey, if you'd like to give to our adoption, we'd love to open up for you to. We put that onus on myself, and I just say, hey, we as a church are going to do it, and we're going to match. I know you perhaps would want to be a part of this. And we do it in a very appropriate, professional way. And people want to be a part of it. And that's why I told my wife when we just got back from the Philippines. I said, we now have graduated to the help other people adopt. All right? So just so you know. And so it's a real blessing to see them be a part of that. That's incredible. Right. Right, right. Well, it's amazing, as we said, where it comes from the most least expected places. Just don't underestimate God. The one reason I would choose not to adopt would not be financial. I mean, don't let that, because God really does provide it. And we've seen that time and time again. And it's fun to be able to jump in and help. Yeah, no, Chefs, it does. It is very scary. I mean, I know we've been through it several times, and still, when I went through immigration, getting back in the United States with that sealed envelope, I was so petrified until I had them. You come back, and no one opens that until the immigration guy gets it. I tell you what, I've experienced more fear than anything is John Michaels. He's 12. His orphanage had a life book. I've never seen this. They had a life book, and they kept track of his kindergarten graduation picture, all those things like a parent would do. They kept all of that in a book. And it was just incredible. We were able to walk through his life from the time they got him at 5 until we got him at 12. It's just incredible. Well, I had packed that in a suitcase when I was in Makati City, Manila, when we were leaving. And I said, now, let's don't buy these suitcases. These babies are ready to roll. We got to go to the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning. So he kept getting that out and wanted to look at it. And I said, no, okay, let's put this back in the suitcase. And long story short, we get here, I look in the suitcase, and I didn't see it. And I went in the suitcase, didn't see it. And then I asked my wife, I said, did you see his life book when you unpacked his suitcase? And she said, no, I didn't see it. And so you can imagine losing 7 years of your son's life, you know. And anyway, I end up, you know, he had put it back in his suitcase in a place I wouldn't anticipate, and I did find it. But I thought my life was over as I knew it. Last Sunday, I was just dying. I was physically sick. But there's a lot of fears of just step by step, because sometimes the social, like we did not use a Christian agency to do ours, and you know, it's just helpful to be tutored through that process, even how they're going to respond and how they're going to react, you know. So that's really helpful. Now here's how they're going to do this, and here's how they're going to respond there. And you'll find, again, and online, there's so many communities online. And it's really broken down barriers, I believe, between churches. I mean, we have so many couples that are connected from so many different churches even. You know, it starts, again, the wives now have some of the wives have these wives' nights out, you know, and they really enjoy that support. But and it all can start, and just, as you said, someone go to Louisiana or Mississippi, it just takes one to begin a culture like that. And it's incredible, though, how it spreads like wildfire when people just see by sight what a blessing it is. So, it eliminates some of those, you know, the stigmas that sometimes that come. Yeah, we have an agency that does it free that we've used. We've looked at other options as well. Life Song, who's here, is who we've used for some time. Andy Lehman's got a great heart, you know, for adoption, and they do a good job. What they simply do is people apply. They send in financial information, and then they're determined to be eligible for a certain amount. Obviously, you know, you make $250,000 a year, you're probably not going to be eligible for our matching fund. But what we do, we still send out and say, hey, you may want to partner, you know, with a family, regardless of how much it is. But they evaluate. That way we don't see the finances. We don't have any I would not encourage you to do that. Southern Baptist-wise, we're in the process. I'm really excited about this. We're in the process of setting up a 1-4 ministers to help match ministers' adoptions nationwide. And so we're going to launch that in June. We're really excited about that. Nobody knows. It's going to be a really, really neat thing if it all works out like we think it will. So.
I'm not sure if you're aware, but there are some organizations in other countries with that same problem, over there.
Right.
So.
No. Good word.
Sounds like a good.
Good. This is a unique. The ministers thing is unique because it's a ministers, pastors conference that's actually driving it. So that's why it would be a. All right, and you'll see online. There's a tremendous amount of helps, but one of the things that will help change the attitude, the demeanor, and I think just the pure DNA of a church is helping them through the eyes, the hands, and the feet of children. Children can really lead and turn a church around, soften the heart of those who they think perhaps would not. And it's been incredible. That old song, Red and Yellow, Black and White, They're Precious in His Sight. It's a great song to sing. It's a better picture to see. And because of that, and God has richly, richly blessed our church. And we are forever, forever grateful. And sure makes it fun. It keeps you younger, too. I start climbing that mountain. I'll tell you, the only downside, I'm going to be very honest with you, there is a downside to adopting at an older age, is you have to go to all those field trips again. All right? I've gone to those caves as many times as I want to go, but I'm going back on my fourth, fifth, sixth time the same watch them make candles again. Yeah, whoopee. So it's a little hard to get motivated for those babies. Well, no, you do it. No, you do. I did it last time. Oh, okay. But you're doing it for him. Okay. So, any other questions? Yeah, we have, and some people don't understand, some don't understand domestic or international. I don't know, why would you go over there when there's plenty of kids here? We don't look at them as Americans or Chinese or Ethiopians. They're all, they're children. But we do have, and we have, started a ministry for more domestic related. We were kind of lopsided at one time, and so we've been more well-rounded. And some of that was good criticism, just that, hey, there are needs here. And so we've learned from some of that. And so there's just so many different levels. But we have to be careful when you develop this, is there some people that might want to jump on that may not really be suited for it. And what's the most challenging and difficult is when you have some couples that, we want to adopt a sibling group of three. Well, that's huge. I mean, you got to really know what you're doing and really be sturdy to be able to pull that off. We have some couples in our church that have done that. There's other couples that want to do that. You think, hey, you really might want to try one. And it's so because when they get there, it's not like you can't take, it's not like it's a 30-day trial period, younger, different age. Children's obviously have different levels of challenge, but yeah, we have some, but it's really not been that great. Some people question the motives of why you do it, and that type of thing. But that just comes with being a Christian anyway, and developing friendships. So, all right, I know it's already time. They want us to have you out of here. Time to get over there, but noon. Give you plenty of time to get back this afternoon. Any other questions? Well, I just want to beg you and encourage you to have your church begin something like this. And what's real funny is watching people try to, where do you put it? You can put it under missions. You can put it under evangelism. You can put it, there's so many, because it affects every area of your church. I would just really encourage you to prayerfully consider it and be a part of it. It's an incredible blessing.
Just how often do you, as far as preaching?
We mentioned that earlier. Two times a year, basically, is when we have an intentional time. But we have a board up with adoptions. It's a constant. We have in two Sundays, we're going to put up Guatemala now is closed for the most part. And so we're trying to help children there. And so we have about 35. We start in a middle school. Well, the school only goes through sixth grade. So we're starting a middle school. We have 38 seventh graders that are going to go to the school. The government has school in the morning, and the school's set empty in the afternoon. So they're going to allow us to use the public school to start a Christian school in the afternoon. And so I say Christian school. We get to hire the teacher, and the teacher's Christian. And they would not do it unless we fund it. But it only takes like $30 a month, and we can fund the teacher and all the supplies and everything. And so, but our people, we have this poster, our people are going to sponsor those kids. They're going to stay in Guatemala. They're not ever going to come over here. But again, just keeping it in front of them in that type of way where they're just caring and ministering to people. We just had 60 of our family, 60 go to Wayside and help with some of the homeless families that are having going through some different challenges, and minister to them on a Saturday. And all that is a breakout of the adoption ministry, their heart being open to those who have a need and trying to meet needs right here. We call it loving Louisville, which is no new slogan, but just trying to find different ways to love Louisville as well as love Kentucky and ultimately around the world. I just want our people to see when it comes to ministering to people, when it comes to reaching people, when it comes to loving people, it doesn't necessarily have to have a country or a color identified to it, And some of the church growth movements, what is your target group? What is your target? And there's nothing wrong with targeting certain people, but, our joke has always been our target group is people with a pulse, If they got a pulse, that's who we're targeting. We're just trying to reach people. And so, again, when it comes to this, you know, not trying to make it about a certain nationality or a color. And I tell you, people ask you some of the most ridiculous questions that you'll, I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, how it's, I've never been, since we've been adopted, we've never been more blessed, but I've never been more convinced that there are extremely stupid people in the world. I mean, this is, I had a lady come up to me who I did not know. She came up to me and had Michael in, who is a very, very dark Ethiopian. And she said, is she yours? Of course, I'm thinking, you know, no, I stole her and I'm shopping at Kroger. And I said, yes. I said, she's my daughter. And she said, did you adopt her? And of course, she's sitting right there. And I said, well, yes, ma'am. I said, we were real excited. We were able to go to Ethiopia. And I went through the whole thing. And she said, well, tell me, she said, now, when you adopt from Ethiopia or Africa, can you pick the tint of their skin? And I'm thinking, she didn't just say that. I don't know.
And how old was your daughter when she was talking?
It was three. She was three.
At least your baby could not process it, could not understand what was being said.
Yeah, oh, I know. And but she said, can you pick the tint? And I said, do what? I was just so shocked she said it. She's like the shade. And I promise you I did this because I was just so ticked at how ignorant she was. I said, actually, ma'am, it depends on the agency you go through. I said, the agency we went through, they have a whole thing of skin swatches. And when you go to your adoption agency, ask them for the skin swatch. And then you pick that, and then they'll match you up with the right country and the city of which those skin, this is about the same. She said, well, I never knew that. I said, yeah, just ask your adoption agency. And so I never told her any different. I thought, hey, she's that ignorant, she deserves it, you know. Hey, thank you so much. And, man, I'm thankful that you're here. Thankful you're investing in children and being open to what God might do in your church. So.